This is Patrick Coman. You're tuned in to Independent Music Radio WNRN. Today, I'm joined by Mark Perlman of the Jayhawks. Mark, first of all, thank you so much for making some time to chat today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's go ahead and talk about this new record, XOXO. Is that how we're pronouncing the title?
I believe that's true.
So this one, you know, you guys are a band that's so associated with Minneapolis, and you recorded this one in Minneapolis at some studios. I know at least locally are very legendary studios. For folks that don't know, do you want to talk about where you recorded and kind of the connection between you guys and those studios and the Minneapolis music scene?
Yeah, we started recording at a studio called Pachyderm, which is about 40 minutes south of Minneapolis in a town called Cannon Falls. A beautiful rustic area by a creek, big house that everybody lives in, and then another smaller house building area that they built a studio in. And it's really nice for us because it's close to the city, but we're still able to get away from everything. Mm-hmm. We produced the record pretty much ourselves with, you know, whoever was engineering at the time. So it helped us to keep, you know, this record really contained, and it just kind of keep it between the four of us. We started there, and we did about a week and a half at Pachyderm and got what we could get done there. And then we came up back to Minneapolis and recorded at a studio we've been recording at for some years now called Flowers, which was created and run by our good friend, the late Ed Ackerson, who unfortunately passed away recently, who was in a band called Polera, among other projects. And we were one of the first bands to start working in his studio back in the Smile era when we made the Smile record.
Wow.
And so we have a comfort level there, and we were able to work with a guy named Chris Johnson, who is basically mentored by Ed in that studio.
Yeah, wow. How did it feel to be back in that studio in a place with so much history for the band without Ed being there?
It was weird and kind of heavy. Especially his widow, Ashley, and their daughter, Annika, you know, where they live in the houses connected to the studio. So in one way, it was really kind of cathartic to be able to hang out with them and spend time with them. And I think for them to be able to hang out with us while we were recording, because we're all pretty close as a part of the Minneapolis music scene over the years. It kind of was our home studio.
Yeah. And having that familiarity and that comfort level as a band that's been together for 2+ decades, is that something that's allowed you to start producing your own records? Or do you think that's something you could have done earlier in your career as well?
That's a good question. I think, you know, when we started recording back in 1985 on some 16 track in a storefront somewhere in South Minneapolis, we didn't really know what we were doing. And when we signed our record deal with Deaf American and started recording, you know, in the expensive studios,
right? Yeah,
with the expensive support staff, we learned a lot. And I think it was around the time that we started making Sound of Lies that we felt much more confident in our own abilities to produce our own kind of music.
And now that you guys are steering the ship yourself, so to speak, do you find that you have more time to experiment in the studio, or how does that work?
We don't really write in the studio. It's just too expensive. We work with 30 Tigers, but we're sort of financing our own record, and we're very conscious about how we spend time in the studio. So we get together and spend quite a bit of time together in our rehearsal space, working out material, recording them onto a, you know, a basic little recording unit, and
yeah,
working on them and analyzing them and adding to them that way. So by the time we get in the studio, we're pretty sure what we want to do.
And when it comes to producing your own records, does it feel like you have more freedom to kind of follow the path of the album that way?
There's definitely more freedom than when we were working on a major label. And that's not any, that's just the nature of the business. So, you know, we've been through all that, and you know, we've just been able to adapt with the changes in the business. And I think it has opened it up for us a little bit to do what we want instead of what people expect from us.
Yeah. It seems like you guys have been able to explore some larger sonic territory and maybe some different avenues of the band's identity on a record like this one.
Yeah, and I think on XOXO, there was a worry that maybe the record wasn't going to be cohesive. I remember I was kind of joking around about how we were going to sequence the thing, because it's such a diverse sounding record. But if you listen to it, I think it has bits and pieces of all the different parts of the Jayhawks sound over the years.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's sonically a retrospective. What makes it different is that the songs that have Karen and Tim featured more add a completely different aspect to the records that you've never heard on a Jayhawks record before, or not very much at least.
Here's the Jayhawks performing Ruby live from home, featuring keyboardist Karen Grotberg on lead vocals. I'm Patrick Homan, joined in this home studio session by Mark Perlman of the Jayhawks. Mark, much has been made of the fact on this album that everybody in the band is writing, and there's also a fair amount of co-writes between you guys in the group. Just to give people context, what is the normal or the standard operating procedure for a Jayhawks album?
Usually, Gary has songs he's pretty much finished, and then there'll maybe will be some songs that Tim and I will bring in for consideration. On this record, Gary made a point of wanting to open up the songwriting opportunities for the other members of the band. And Tim and Karen both have some songs that they've been wanting to record for a few years now. And Gary had some songs that he had in the can, you know, that he had in his back pocket that he hadn't put out yet. And then there were some songs that we put together from scratch. So we kind of went through it all different. We looked at it from all different angles on this record.
Gotcha. With a song like This Forgotten Town, one of my favorites from the album, the one that kicks off the record, a co-write there between you and Gary and Tim. What was the process for putting that one together?
Really, I think I just kind of started the ball with some, you know, with a basic chord structure and, you know, a couple melodic ideas. And then Gary went with it from there. And then Tim came up with most of the lyrics on his parts. But it just kind of started, somebody teed off first, and then everybody followed down the fairway.
It's building on this classic Jayhawk sound, but then you have different lead vocals in different parts of the song. Can you tell me about the decision to approach it that way?
On Forgotten Town, we made a point of sharing the lead vocals, originally between Gary and Tim, and then introducing Karen. Even though it's not a lead vocal, it's a prominent vocal.
Yeah.
And that was, I think the song itself, I don't really like to talk about the song process or what the song means or anything, but the idea of the song called for different voices. The story of the song called for different narrators. Also, the same thing with Illuminate and a few other songs where we made a point of having different voices featured within the song instead of having one lead vocalist and a harmony.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Illuminate because that's one of the most interesting songs on the record. Could you tell us a little bit more about how that one came together?
That was one that we built from scratch and didn't have any idea where it was going half the time and took it in all these different directions and got everybody involved in it. And it could have easily just been a big, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is just a big mishmash, but it ended up working somehow. I think it's going to be one of those tracks that people are not going to think so much about until maybe 10 years from now.
Well, Mark, I know our time is running short, but before we go, I just got to ask, I mean, as a band, you've been together 30 years now at this point, been able to navigate the changing music industry when so many of your contemporaries have fallen by the wayside. How have you guys managed to navigate those pitfalls and keep it going all these years?
Yeah, and we were never really financially that successful or you know, overly popular enough where the expectations of us were so high that we couldn't meet them. I think that maybe helped keep us going all this time.
Yeah, the slow burn instead of the, you know.
We are the slow burners.
Well, Mark, thanks again for taking time to chat today.
No problem. It was the most fun I'm going to have all day, trust me.
I sincerely hope that's not the case, but I appreciate it again. The Jayhawks' new album is XOXO. It's out now on 30 Tigers. Learn more at jayhawksofficial.com. We'll go out on this one. It's This Forgotten Town, new Jayhawks on WNRN.
Roll out of this forgotten town. Had to watch my old horse drown. Buried by the river, chocolate colored by